Our scripture lesson this morning is from Psalm 122. I'm sure you will find it to be very familiar. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up into the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel to give thanks in the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Robots have been around for a while, for a long while. At least the concept of robots. The ancient Greeks and Egyptians had visions of artificial companions and servants and soldiers. Dragon's teeth might be sown in the field and soldiers would pop up to defend the gods. Vulcan forged handmaidens out of gold, and so it goes on and on. In recent history, robots have also captured the imagination of us mere mortals. Slowly, mechanical servants became part of our mundane life. Machines wash our clothes and our dishes with very little human interaction. Robots have been programmed to work in factories and have replaced human workers on many assembly lines. In the 1950s, a humanoid robots usually looked like tin men and had a funnel or colander on their heads. The Star Wars franchise brought to the screen the most lovable robot of all time, R2-D2 and 3CPO. Robot Cop in 1987 and then remade again in 2014 generated a debate as to the extent that robots could replace humans in vital roles. 30 years after 1987 movie, robots were patrolling the streets of Dubai. Millions of non-human robots are vacuuming, carpeting in households around the world. I watched one of those commercials for breakfast this morning. Now a robot priest in Germany is blessing worshipers in 5 different languages. If there's one occupation impervious to automation, surely it's the priesthood or the ministry, right? Not anymore. You can't simply remove a pastor for him or her role and insert a robot made of metal, plastic, and circuit boards, can you? For one thing, robots could be very difficult to fit into that robe that I forgot to put on this morning. Or the stole could keep sliding off their shoulders. Could you program a robot to tell a bad joke in the middle of a sermon? And then there's the many denominational concerns. Could they wend their way through the sea of rocks between various denominations? Would a Presbyterian robot be different in appearance and functioning from that of a Missouri Synod Lutheran robot? In Germany, a robot has been developed to offer blessings to congregations. It's called Bless You Too, which sounds like it might be a robot that goes around saying Gesundheit every time you sneeze. It's German, after all. Instead, the robot will bless you upon request. It's made of the body of an ATM machine, and it's activated by touching the touch screen that's on its chest. It gives you an option of hearing your blessing in a male or a female voice. Yes. It asks you the language you'd like to hear it in, and you have a choice between German, English, French, Spanish, or Polish. Then, bless you too, raises its robot arms and pronounces a blessing. Another robot, Santu, listens to confession and recites Bible verses and has been used successfully in nursing homes to provide comfort and assistance to the elderly. I always thought the elderly needed to touch human skin, but apparently the robot has some special features. And robots are not unique to Christianity. In Beijing, It's a subgroup of ethnic people, has developed a robot that chants mantras and dispenses Buddhist wisdom in the temple for worshipers. I'm sorry, but there's no word yet about robot rabbis or imams. Perhaps the robot priest will utter some blessing like the one found in today's psalm. Unless a robot is developed that could hop into a self-driving car and make house calls, you are never going to receive a robot blessing if you stay home on a Sunday morning or Christmas Eve evening. Somebody evidently said to the psalmist, "Let's go to the temple today." And the psalmist replied, "Great idea." Then later, he wrote this little song, and the lyrics begin with, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." That sounds genuine, that he was really glad. This is noteworthy because you have to wonder if this is an honest emotion from the heart and the mind of many for whom church has become something of an obligation. Have we lost the glad part of worship? How is glad expressed in worship? Can we tell if a person is glad? Glad is part that is generated deep within our souls, not only and perhaps not even primarily because of our love for God, but because we anticipate eagerly our interactions and connections with others who likewise will be worshiping God with us. Studies have repeatedly underscored the value of the physical, emotional, and psychological health of churchgoers compared to non-churchgoers. Christianity Today reported earlier this year that a new study by Pew Research has found that people who practice religion are happier and more engaged in their community than the rest of the population. That sounds like glad to me. So glad is not always about God. Being happy is not just about God, but it's also about the others around us. If the congregation then is gloomy and grumpy, a lot of people are not likely to be glad. And if they're not glad, going to church is a practice that is not going to be sustainable for them for a long time. And if they don't go to church, they're going to miss out on a blessing. No blessing from the robot, no blessing from the pastor, no blessing from the friends that sit nearby. They're missing a blessing. Being with the company of the faithful results in blessing, and it results in gladness of heart and spirit. So, what is the glad index here in our congregation? Do we need a robot to dispense some blessings, or can we handle this on our own? Can we be a robot-free church? Or is our congregation so hard up for blessing resources that we need to order one of those Bless You Too Ottomans? So, since the topic today is blessings absent a robot, let's examine how we can bless the congregation. Here's a blessing from verse 6 of our psalm today. May they prosper who love you. You, in the sentence, is, of course, Jerusalem. The writer hopes that there will be many people who will love the city of God, and he wishes for prosperity for those who do. His thinking is a sign of the high regard he has for this city, a city that is central to the plan that God has for his people. Excuse me. It's a touching thought, and one that can be carried over on a personal level. To say, may they prosper who love you, is to say that you is valued and considered dear. It expresses a desire that all people will have a network of those who love and care for them, and that these people, in doing so, will prosper. One cannot be certain what type of prosperity the writer had in mind, but clearly, when we are among those who love others, a certain kind of inner prosperity, inner health, inner well-being is sure to ensue. And the love we offer will surely bless and uplift the you of our affection and support. The you who sits in the pew with us, or in the pew behind us, or in the pew in front of us, or across the aisle. His thinking is a sign of the high regard that he had for the city. It's a touching thought, and one that can be carried over to the personal level. To say, may they prosper who love you, is to say you are valued and held dear. No one can be certain what kind of prosperity that writer had in mind. But clearly, when we are among those who love others, there's an inner prosperity. The second blessing is found in this psalm, is peace be within your walls, there in verse 7. This is a blessing expressing the aspiration for the well-being of the community. The walls are referring to the walls of the city. The hope is that peace will come to the neighborhoods and the communities who live within these walls. We don't have a wall around Philadelphia, or Allentown, or Richmond, Virginia. One might say there might be a wall around Washington, D.C., but we won't go there. So how do we define what is our community? Because today we live and work in more than one community. We have a community defined by the streets and lanes in our own neighborhood. We also have a community at our workplace, which can be up to an hour away. We have communities defined by unique interests. We join clubs, and they may draw people from near and far, and that's a community. We also have our spiritual community. For us, it's defined here. It's entirely fitting that as pastors, elders, deacons, and members, we offer this blessing that peace might be within the walls. The walls of the community, the walls of work, the walls of the church. It's entirely fitting that we are concerned for each other. The implication here is that peace is not always within these walls. And many of us can attest to having breakdowns in peace within our communities. Our office relationships, likewise, are too often a source of tension rather than blessing. And it is sad to say that even in a church community, discord and griping are sometimes more common than love and charity with each other. Let these words sink into your existence. This is from a poem. I'm sorry, this is a verse from a hymn in the Methodist Church, "Where Charity and Love Prevail" is the title. These words say, "Forgive we now each other's faults as we our faults confess. Let us love each other well in Christmas holiness. Let strife among us be unknown, and let all contention cease. Be God's the glory that we seek, and ours God's holy peace." We can be grateful to those who devote so much time and energy into promoting peace within the walls of neighborhoods, cities, workplaces, and even churches. The third blessing we find in this very short psalm is found in verse 8. Notice how the area now is slightly more defined. It will get narrow even further with the fourth blessing. Here, however, the prayer is that there might be security within your towers. This is a reference to the fortifications of the walls of Jerusalem. So the focus shifts from the larger area of walls to specific points along the walls, namely the towers. The hope is that these towers will provide protection for weary pilgrims as well as for the citizens within the walls. The towers are symbols of security and safety. And so the psalmist, when he says, "May the security within your towers," is expressing the hope that Jerusalem and its pilgrims and inhabitants are all safe. It is important that peace is first brokered between warring parties. Without peace, there can be no safety. Perhaps this is why we value peace. When we have peace, we feel safe. Whether it is peace in a neighborhood, or peace at work, or peace in our house, or peace in the church, we feel safer and more secure and happier than when peace is absent. Something else might be suggested here: our need to have a safe place. We need a place where, even if it's only for 20 or 30 minutes, the world can be shut out and we can be shut in to ourselves. Sometimes these towers are very important. They are towers of hope and peace, places where we're safe and we can recharge. The final blessing narrows this focus even more. In verse 8, the psalmist writes, "Peace be with you." The progression has moved from community to towers and now to the heart of you. Once again, the assumption is that too often peace is not within us. What is within us? Anger, bitterness, ingratitude, pettiness, a long-standing grudge, a lust for something or someone we cannot have, or simply general dissatisfaction? Are these things within us? If so, where is the peace? The truth is that behind the walls of our personal lives is a reality that bears no resemblance to peace. Our relationships might be fraught with tension or uncertainty, discord, or perhaps even abuse. It is also possible that many people are likely to confess that within the walls of their heart, emotional turbulence is terrifying. Appearances are often, if not usually, deceptive. Nevek Tzitzak, which means Oasis of Justice, is a Jewish neighborhood outside of the ancient walled city of Jaffa in Israel, and it is not far from Tel Aviv. Today it is a fashionable, desirable place to live thanks to many arrays of shops, cosmetics, jewelry, housewares, trendy cafes, bars, and the restoration of many of the old houses. Some of the houses, while being refurnished and designed within, have also been given highly decorative facades. Beautiful, to be sure. And behind it, the old house sits. The facade bears little resemblance to the design or the house that it fronts. One can tell little about the house by simply looking at its exterior. The fancy facade is hiding a fake existence is not what the psalmist wishes for us. No fake facades. He wants us to have a life in which the front yard is beautiful and the backyard is a mess? No, that's not what he's wishing for us. The blessing of the psalmist expresses the wish, the hope, that peace might be within our walls, security might be within our towers, and peace might be within us. God wants us to have peace. Peace is a huge theme in the Bible. Jesus talks about peace when he wants to leave, that he wants to leave with us. The Apostle Paul prays that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right there in Philippians. That peace will guard you. So in the absence of a robot, may I bless this congregation now? May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls. May you have security in your towers. And may peace be within you. A robot blessing from a jerry-rigged ATM machine might serve a useful purpose. But there's another truth. The church exists in part so that the people of the church can bless each other and bring the word of peace into the reality of our conversation. Peace is so huge, friends. Without peace, we cannot feel safe. And if we cannot feel safe, fear is eating away at us. Without peace, we cannot feel safe. With it, all other blessings come true in our lives. May the peace of the Lord be with you now and always. Amen.